All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. So if you love films from the Golden Age, then I know you love the Turner Classic Movies Network. Ben Mankiewicz is a host of TCM and currently co-hosts the online film review show, What the Flick. And on this Oscar Sunday, Ben joins us live from Hollywood. Ben, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dave? Thanks for having me on.
I am excellent. Tonight's the big night. This is it.
Yeah. It's as cynical as one can be about the Oscars, and I can be pretty cynical at times. You get a little excited.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to tonight. Yeah,
it is the Super Bowl. It's the World Series of this industry, and I got to tell you, I love watching you on TCM, and you've got such a passion for the industry, and it really runs in your family for you all the way back to your grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather, Herman Mankiewicz, was a screenwriter, a really well-respected one. He wrote Citizen Kane, won an Oscar, which he shared with Orson Welles. But I got news for you. My grandfather wrote the whole screenplay. And then he was a drunk and a screw up. But a fun drunk, by all accounts. It wrote Pride of the Yankees, as long as we mentioned the World Series, a great baseball movie, the Luke Gehrig story. Yeah. And then my uncle, his brother, Joe Mankiewicz, wildly successful as a writer and director, All About Eve, Letter to Three Wives. Joe won 4 Oscars, speaking of the Oscars, in 2 years, writing and directing back-to-back years for Letter to Three Wives and All About Eve.
And you have a cousin who's a writer-director as well, right?
Tom Mankiewicz, my cousin, who created Heart to Heart and directed a couple of movies, a Dragnet and a Soap Dish, and it was a screenwriter, wrote a bunch of Bond, I think 3 Bond movies, Superman 1 and 2. My cousin John Mankiewicz writes on House of Cards. He's going to be writing on Bosch the next season. Really successful television writer, and my brother's a Dateline correspondent. And I'm a cable TV host.
What brought all this passion for you? I mean, was it watching these movies? Was it hearing stories from your grandfather, from your uncles, or was this more something that you just discovered on your own? Was it in college? What was it? Was it a movie?
It was a meandering way there. My father was in politics, and I grew up in Washington, D.C. My dad moved to D.C. a couple years before I was born. My parents did. And my dad was in the Peace Corps, Latin American director of the Peace Corps. Then he went to work for Senator Robert Kennedy, and my father was Bobby's press secretary during the both in the Senate and during the 1968 presidential campaign. And my father famously announced his death. And then he ran George McGovern's campaign with Gary Hart in 1972, president of National Public Radio. So to me, DC politics was sort of the local industry.
These stories, you know, I'm always dubious of people who talk like this, but it just seems sort of like my destiny somehow directed me out here and to be talking about movies that my grandfather and my great uncle made and that so many of their brilliant colleagues made. It just sort of felt inevitable. I was always drawn, even though I grew up in D.C., I was always drawn to Los Angeles and to Hollywood and to this industry. And for a long time, I thought, you know, maybe I'd be a screenwriter. But it turns out you have to actually write a screenplay to do that. And that part hadn't quite happened yet.
But you know what? You have a passion for the history of it all. And I was just out in L.A. last week and decided to stop by Musso and Frank and go sit at the counter and just watch the happenings that was happening there, because I love the film industry as well. Knowing that place has been there for almost 100 years, you know, entertaining people, you know, the stars back to the days of Charlie Chaplin. I just find that so fascinating, and that's why I love TCM as well.
One of the great things, real quick, about Musso and Frank, one thing I love about Musso and Frank is they still got the original menu up from when the place opened. And for a nickel or a dime, I can't remember, still people could come in and get a tall glass of heavy whipping cream.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's really amazing anyone lived to see 40.
Yeah, I know. One of the big dishes of the day is still on the menu, and I believe it was a Charlie Chaplin favorite that Bobby was telling me, was that it's the lamb kidneys that are still on the menu.
Yeah.
So get yourself some lamb kidneys and some heavy whipping cream. I mean, you've got a night for yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Healthy meal, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was looking, really understanding the history of the film industry. It was pretty prevalent, actually, here in Chicago, where you were, by the way, as hosts as of At the Movies, which was the old Ebert and Siskel show. And, you know, really, that's kind of where it got started. And then it was somewhere, I think, around 1909, 1910, that that they started migrating out to Hollywood.
Yeah, it was spread out, and it was a lot of it in New York and New Jersey, and then sort of, you know, there's just the opportunity really to shoot year round that made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Being able to make movies throughout the year and all this open space that could double as anything out here, and all this place to build a studio, just land to build a big studio. And you know, and as with so many, you know, once you come out here, you sort of want to stay.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I mean, a lot of people make fun of LA, and I get why it gets ridiculed, but it is, you know, I mean, it is it, like today. I mean, it's, you know, this whole week has been spectacular. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. I hope it, you know, obviously hope it doesn't rain tonight.
Yeah. And I was looking, you know, by 1914, I think that was really the first movie made there. And I was watching a little bit of on YouTube, The Squaw Man. Cecil B. DeMille, 1919, Hollywood transformed that face of American cinema and was really the star of where things were happening. I was looking at this. Paramount was and Universal was formed in 1912. Universal, 1919. Warner Brothers and Disney, 23. Columbia and MGM, 1924. RKO, 28. It was all within really one decade that the entire film industry was born.
That's right. But really, it was sort of from really the late teens, right up until through the end of the silent era. And then it had already taken off, but you know, and then who knows how much the Depression had to do with the film industry's growth and the desire for, and the need for some form of escapism.
Yeah.
I suspect it's not insignificant. You know, we'll never know quite for sure, you know, what would have happened if there hadn't, there hadn't been such a terrible economic downturn, but you know, I suspect that the films would still be as popular, but the timing was perfect for the growth of that industry.
Well, right there in the beginning of the Depression too, is really when there was the first Academy Award. So we're celebrating, I think, the 89th tonight. And it was in May of 29 that, folks got together, I think at the Roosevelt Hotel, and this was kind of the whole Academy thing was an idea of Louis B. Mayer.
The first and the Academy Awards, totally a different beast than they are now. First, by the way, the Roosevelt Hotel, the seat of our film festival, which I think will be our eighth year April 6th through 9th. It's a great festival, but we're based out of the Roosevelt Hotel, and then all the great theaters there in Hollywood, the formerly what was Grauman's Chinese and the Egyptian Theater and the Roosevelt Hotel, which is just a great old location. But in the beginning, there was no suspense for the first, I don't know off the top of my head, 3, 4, 5 years, I think really through 34, when it happened one night, they knew ahead of time, you know, Gable, Colbert, you were told that you won. So there was no actual suspense in the evening.
Yeah, it was really just a dinner
celebrate, right,
to celebrate who already won. Yeah, exactly. And you know, you think about all that have won and all the great movies over the years. I mean, 90 years of film almost. And I know TCM unveiled their list of the top most influential films of all time. What would you say? I mean, I know this is a big question, but you know, what are some of the films that you would say defined the industry over time?
Well, certainly Gone with the Wind, just again, so innovative. The first sort of that showed so many other directors and producers, filmmakers, what kind of story could be told on screen. Right. So regardless of what you think of the movie yourself, and it's a tough watch for me, you cannot deny its overwhelming importance to the industry and its profound influence over the next 20 years. These are not the most innovative answers you're ever going to get. But obviously, Citizen Kane. In 1941,
absolutely.
Again, Wells, you know, my grandfather may have written the movie, but it's still Wells' movie. He directed it. His performance is amazing. And producing it, steering it through, making it happen. That was the sheer force of Orson Welles' will. And then, which was powerful. And then, you know, just this, you know, there had been a couple of flashbacks before, but telling a story in that nonlinear fashion that effectively and moving time around flashback inside a flashback. Really, really, and done so brilliantly, and just again directing techniques that made the rest of the industry take note, like, whoa, we think, man, this has opened up whole other ways that we can tell these stories. And then Casablanca in 1942, again, sort of this seminal story. It's a, you know, it's both a romance and it's a buddy picture and it's, you know, and it's a war story. It's so many great
one of my things.
And this, you know, and like Die Hard and the Reluctant Hero. You know, I mean, there is a path that you can draw from Casablanca to movies like Die Hard. So, again, really influential. And those movies are influential because they were incredibly well done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just a side note. I was I did a little private tour at Warner Brothers while I was there. And I got to, you know, you walk through the prop area and I'm looking at this lamp and I'm looking down around and there's a picture of this lamp from Casablanca. And then all of a sudden, here's the lamp that you could rent, you know, to use for any other movie. Like, it's not in a museum. It's just a prop. And it's
such an iconic
piece of history. Psycho made this list. And what I was surprised is, what would you say from a contemporary standpoint? Because the last movie on TCM's list was Star Wars in 1977. Would you say there's any movies from, you know, the 70s to today that you could put kind of close to that category?
Sure. I mean, look, from 1967 to 1976 was, you know, right before Star Wars, and you could include 77, but including Star Wars changes the dynamic to such an enormous extent. But from 67 to 76, we made unbelievable movies here in this country. I mean, that's just to me, the best 10-year run that American cinema has ever had. Just boldly creative films, starting with those great movies from 1967, The Graduate, In the Heat of the Night, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Bonnie and Clyde, right? And, you know, running through, you know, then you include there One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and through Network in 1976, these Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid in 69 and The Sting. I mean, just movie after movie after movie that told stories in these really, again, creative, innovative ways. Robert Altman really establishes himself with with MASH and when we this is a you know, Nashville. These are, I don't know that you can get a more, one of my favorites, 3 Days of the Condor. Just great movie after great movie and really thoughtful, creative director. So I think there are a lot of movies in there that made a difference. And then Jaws, by the way. And then, of course, 77 with the I mean, I like to think of 77 as the year of Smokey and the Bandit, but other people think of it as the year of Star Wars. And I understand
you.
That.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. Well, I think we were both born around the same. You were born in 67, weren't you?
Yeah,
me too. So really, that decade, I mean, we were just kids. But then, you know, at some point in the late 70s, and then when the 80s came and cable came, you got to go back and look at some of these films that you didn't get to see as a kid because they were more adult films on cable and really kind of rediscover, right?
Yeah, no question. And for me, it was much later that I really discovered and formed the appreciation that I now have for all these movies. Chinatown, by the way, again, another one that needs to be mentioned. Sure. But so I mentioned 67 to 76, the 67 was such a seminal year. And, but like if you then took 77 to 86, with the exception of, you know, 77 and Star Wars, and, you know, and obviously you're redefining the outdoor adventure in 81 with Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there's some terrific movies in there, but I mean, it pales in comparison. Like, you know, we stopped being as creative and we started to get, at least from where most of the money was being spent, into this idea of how do we create a blockbuster rather than than let's make a great movie and how do we tell a story and great, we'll make a little money on it. But now then it became, you know, we started to see the emergence of movies directed toward, you know, teenagers, you know, young boys, mostly, you know, teenage boys.
Vacation.
And as a former teenage boy, like that's not who should be driving this incredibly important industry. You know, we started getting sequels and franchises, and that was the beginning of that process. Right after that, really golden 10-year period.
Yeah, it's really a smattering of films that you can really look at every single year. I mean, just a small group that really fall into that golden age category. We say that everything from the writing, the directing, to acting, that everything was top notch, because you know I've seen your reviews, and you're not a guy that you know hands out outstanding reviews lightly. So I mean, you're looking at some of these films. What about the last decade? I mean, what films have really made an impact as far as you're concerned?
Well, I mean, I you know made an impact in the last decade. Hard to say. You don't know what the impact will be yet. But I mean, I couldn't have loved. You getting me to come up with a title without remember what was the Spotlight? Thank you.
Yeah, Spotlight.
I knew
okay.
I'd get it. It's my job. You'd think I'd be better at coming up with the titles of movies, but I'm not. But you know, Spotlight. You know, I mentioned All the President's Men and that description of the great movies in that during that decade. And you know, Spotlight felt like a sequel to All the President's Men, and especially in this era that we're in right now, where journalism is under siege, like a movie that celebrates how great journalism can be, I think was really important. And, you know, I don't know whether people are going to be talking about Spotlight 10, 15 years from now. Probably not. But that's a shame because I really thought it was particularly exquisite.
Well, and now tonight. But,
you know, and even a movie that didn't win, you know, like, I mean, obviously, you know, Avatar, I mean, you know, again.
Groundbreaking.
Changing, the right, groundbreaking changes the way we think that stories can be told. And that makes it, makes it incredibly relevant.
Now, the 89th Oscars tonight, what are your thoughts for Best Picture? Any surprises here?
Well, you know, I'm a gambler, and I pay a lot of attention to the offshore betting on the Oscars. and it's not that close, although the odds have shrunk a little on La La Land. It is not the overwhelming favorite that it was, but it is still a solid favorite, with Moonlight really the only movie that could possibly beat it. But don't expect much there. Like La La Land's going to win, and only of the other big categories, the favorite is a solid favorite. Emma Stone, overwhelming. Viola Davis. You know, you have to bet if you want to win $200 on Viola Davis. Do you know how much money you have to bet to win $200?
What's that?
$10,000.
Wow.
$200 on Viola Davis.
Wow.
That's how overwhelming a favorite she is. And Emma Stone is a big favorite. And Mahershala Ali for Best Supporting Actor is a big favorite. Damien Chazelle is an overwhelming favorite for Best Director. Best Actor is a competitive category.
Okay.
So, slight favorite for Casey Affleck, but Denzel Washington is right there.
And I guess we'll find all that out tonight. And then you mentioned a little while ago the TCM Film Festival that's happening the April 6th through the 9th in Hollywood. Again, it's at the Roosevelt Hotel, which I think is so cool because that is, again, where the first Oscars were held. But that's a great, great annual event for you guys.
That's the best. I mean, we knew it would be good when we decided to do a festival 8 years ago. We didn't realize it would be this great. And now we bring terrific stars out and we show these movies on the big screen in this sort of shared experience for people, and there's presentations from about anything you could possibly imagine, and clips of old Hollywood stars' home movies that we do there every year, and then you just get these great stars and directors and producers to come talk about their movies before and after the movie, and writers, and it's just a terrific event, and you share it with a couple thousand other people who feel this way about the same way about movies that you do. So for those people at work who might be the only guy in the office who likes the old black and white movies, come on out April 6th through 9th and you'll find 3,000 or 4,000 other people who are just like
cool.
you. And
no, that's awesome.
Really a great shared experience.
Awesome. Ben Mankiewicz, he's a host of TCM, and you can check out everything Classic Movies and more on this film festival on TCM.com. If you want to catch great interviews, recent episodes of What the Flick, you can catch that on YouTube as well. Have fun tonight, man.
Hey, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Dave.
All right. It's 720 WGN.